We are gathered this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the most infamous names in early American history is that of Revolutionary General and eventual turncoat, Benedict Arnold. Born in what is today Connecticut, Arnold joined the Revolutionary cause as a captain of the Connecticut militia. By 1777, he was a trusted advisor to George Washington and seemed destined to be promoted to the rank of Major General, only for him to be passed over for the promotion by Congress. Arnold, furious at the snub and jealous of his wealthier, better-connected colleagues, began plotting his revenge. Through the social connections of his wife, he made contact with the British, offering to surrender to them the important fort of West Point in exchange for money and rank. This scheme, however, was discovered by Washington before it could be carried out, forcing Arnold to flee a pariah to his former friends and of no further use to the British. He would go on to die in London, bitter to the end for the disrespect that he felt he had suffered at the hand of the colonists. In our reading for this morning from the Gospel of St. Luke, we heard about an interaction between St. John the Baptist and Christ that seemed, like Arnold, to see John transform from a one-time ally into a jealous rival. After years of supporting Christ and his ministry, St. John the Baptist today sounds as though he is openly questioning whether Christ is anything special at all, with his followers asking Christ if he was really the Messiah, really the one that they were waiting for. What, we might be wondering, could have caused this change? What could lead the man who once pointed at Christ in the street and declared him to be the Lamb of God who is taking away the sin of the world to today sound skeptical of Christ and his ministry? Was St. John the Baptist having a crisis of faith? Jealous that Christ's star was rising while his own was setting? Or is he today opening a door of faith? A door that he calls his followers and us to pass through? To understand what's going on this morning, we first need to place our reading into a bit of context. Our reading comes from fairly early in Christ's public ministry, as his fame was beginning to spread beyond Galilee and into Israel at large. Rumors were flying about a strange rabbi from Nazareth, with some speaking truthfully about his ability to heal, cast out demons, and teach the scriptures with an authority that no one had ever seen before. Others were making more sensational claims, including that he was Elijah returned from heaven, a political revolutionary bent on the destruction of Rome, or even that he was possessed or in league with the devil. As a result of these truths and rumors, these testimonies and gossip, many were observing Christ's ministry with great interest, ranging from the adoring to the cynical. Perhaps known, however, was more interested in who Christ was and what he was doing than his relative, St. John the Baptist. After all, from the very beginning, the ministries of these two had been closely linked. It was St. John the Baptist who is described as leaping for joy in his mother's womb when the Virgin Mary visited his mother Elizabeth, shortly after learning that she would give birth to the Christ child. When Christ was preparing to begin his public ministry, it was to St. John the Baptist that he went to be baptized, with John bearing witness to God revealing himself in Trinity on the banks of the Jordan. And when Christ began gathering his first disciples, it was to St. John the Baptist's followers that he first turned. with Saints Andrew, Peter, James, and John, all having been taught by Saint John the Baptist. United in their devotion to the will of God, Christ and Saint John the Baptist had walked parallel, though not identical, roads to this point in their lives, calling all to love God, to serve God, to return to God's heavenly kingdom. But for all the closeness in the ministries of Christ and Saint John the Baptist, in our reading this morning, it sounds as though John had grown doubtful about whether Christ is all that he claimed to be. From his place in Herod's dungeons, where he had been cast for the crime of offending Herod's wife, Saint John the Baptist summons two of his followers to go to Christ with a rather blunt question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you really the Messiah? The question seems to be asking. Or are you just wasting our time? Are the people calling you a prophet, a miracle worker, and a man of God correct? Or are the ones saying you are a madman or possessed by a demon telling the truth? Should we be buying into all the excitement surrounding you and your miracles? Or are you only setting us up for more disappointment? The same as dozens of would-be messiahs before you. To make sense of how such a seemingly doubtful, bitter question could come from one of Christ's most devoted champions, we actually need to look to another gospel altogether. In the Gospel of St. John, we are shown an exchange between St. John the Baptist and some of his followers that took place several months before the events of today's reading. Very early in Christ's ministry, St. John the Baptist's followers got wind that Christ was baptizing people and teaching about the kingdom of God. To their horror, people were even leaving St. John the Baptist to go instead to listen to what Christ had to say. Angry and jealous for the sake of their teacher, they went to St. John the Baptist to complain, demanding that he do something about this upstart rabbi. Sounding not unlike the Jewish leaders on Palm Sunday, they protested, "All are going to him," with the unspoken threat that if St. John the Baptist did not do something, John would soon see his ministry wither, with Christ taking his place as a preeminent teacher in the area. To their shock, St. John the Baptist responded not with anger or indignation, but with celebration, pointing out to his followers that they themselves knew that John was not the Messiah. He explained to them that it was his calling to one day lay down his position as prophet, to make room for the one who comes from above, to use St. John the Baptist's own words. The entire reason, St. John Baptist explains, that he had been born in the first place was to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare for the one who, in other places, he described himself as being unworthy to carry the sandals of. Now that the Messiah had at last come, there was no place for St. John the Baptist to be jealous that people were flocking to Christ. Rather, he was to rejoice, for all of his hope, all of his labors, all of his sufferings were at last being rewarded. While Christ's coming meant that St. John the Baptist would become less important, that his own ministry of preparation was drawing to an end, it was all worth it, John explained, to bear witness to God's salvation. In this picture of St. John the Baptist, we see that any understanding of what is going on in our reading this morning cannot come from a place of John being jealous, doubtful, or angry that Christ's ministry was taking off while he himself sat in prison. St. John the Baptist is revealed both in that passage from St. John's Gospel as well as in so many other places, knew exactly who Christ is and positively rejoiced in the fact. He was also in no way confused that his ministry could never be more important than Christ's. For thinking that would mean that he viewed himself as being more important than God, the servant considered himself greater than the master. He explicitly references this fact in St. John's Gospel when he says that he must decrease so that Christ might increase, willingly submitting himself to Christ and the greatness of what Christ was doing right in front of him. Christ knew this about St. John the Baptist and also rejoiced. We can see that near the end of our reading this morning, where once the followers of John had left, Christ does not criticize him, but heaps on him praise unlike anything that we see in the Gospels. "I tell you," Christ proclaimed, "among those born of women, none is greater than John." Goes on to call him a prophet, and yet more than a prophet. Praising St. John the Baptist's faithfulness, Christ declares him to be the messenger described by the prophet Isaiah, a fulfillment of the scriptures, one sent by God to prepare the way. If St. John the Baptist had backslid, had turned on Christ to become his enemy, Christ would have never spoken about him in this way. When the apostles like Saints Peter and Thomas doubted, Christ had no problem pointing this out, urging them to return to faith. And the fact that he does not do so this morning, but rather celebrate St. John the Baptist's faith and ministry, suggests that we do not have a traitor to Christ on our hands today. But what then did St. John the Baptist mean by his question this morning? He was not doubting Christ, rejecting Christ, questioning whether Christ was who he said that he was. What was he doing? For this, let us look again to the question which he told his followers to ask Christ. "Are you the one who is to come?" the men asked Christ. "Or shall we look for another?" In this one little word of "we," St. John the Baptist reveals his intentions. He knew that the time was over, that he would not leave Herod's dungeon alive, and that even if he did, his ministry had been fulfilled when Christ came, just as he had prophesied that it would. St. John the Baptist's disciples could not follow him forever, but must eventually turn away, moving from the promise of a Savior that John offered to the Savior himself. And so John pushed them towards Christ, urging them to go, to see, to question, to discover that they were not to look for another, but that in Christ they would find more than anyone else could ever offer. Christ, of course, knew this as well. After all, nothing in St. John the Baptist's heart, or any heart for that matter, is hidden from him. And knowing that John was trying to coax his followers to understand who Christ is, knowing that John was trying to help his followers see that the time had come to put their faith in Christ, how did Christ respond? First, he showed them the answer their question. He did not try to argue that their beloved teacher's mission had been faithfully completed, nor did he chastise them for not seeing who Christ was from the first. Rather, he healed. He taught. He revealed to them God's glory in their midst. Once he had done so, he interpreted for them what they had seen, reminding them of the words of the prophet Isaiah, who had foretold that the coming of God among men would be shown through signs just like these. Christ understood exactly what St. John the Baptist was trying to do, and so showed these messengers who he was, that they too might believe with John and share in his joy. But what, we might ask, about us? Well, it might be an interesting mental exercise to wonder what was going on in St. John the Baptist's head when he sent some of his followers to speak to Christ all those years ago. What does this mean for us who already know that Christ is the one who creation had been waiting for? We already know that there is no other apart from Christ in whom we can find hope and salvation. We already know that St. John the Baptist had to fade out of the picture because Christ, not he, is the Savior of the world. What are we to learn from this exchange as we witness the last of the Old Testament prophets nudge his followers to leave him behind and move into the eternity that Christ promises for those who follow him? First thing that Christ points us to learn from this is the example of humility set for us by St. John the Baptist. Under the logic of the world, John would have been perfectly justified in clinging to his followers, to maintain what influence and control he had over them, to make himself the most important. But that is not what he did. Instead of selfishly thinking of himself, instead of worrying about what would make him look good or what would inflate his own ego, St. John the Baptist submitted himself wholly to God and his will. Unconcerned with his own reputation, unconcerned with being in charge, unconcerned even that he would die alone in prison, St. John the Baptist instead directed his followers to the truth, seeking Christ's desire that all should turn to him and be saved. Such a model of humility, submission, of seeking first the kingdom and the will of God should encourage us. And it is this faithfulness which John displays that Christ praises him so lavishly for this morning. Of course, submission to Christ is difficult. The entire world screams at us to put ourselves first, to look out for number one, to make sure that we are being properly taken care of to the exclusion of all else. Thinking of our neighbor, to say nothing of God, is a foreign thought to the thinking of the world, making St. John the Baptist's example difficult to follow. The world, the flesh, and the devil all push us to chase after the most sinful parts of our hearts, turning from God and thinking only of our own worldly wants. But for all of these challenges we face in following St. John the Baptist's good example, Christ was not done teaching us this morning. For in proving to John's followers that he is the one they were waiting for, that he is the one that John told them to follow, Christ also offered us a potent reminder of who he is. And what is this reminder? It is an image of God healing the sick, binding up the broken, casting out evil. It is an image of God giving sight to the blind, proclaiming truth to a dark world, bringing life where before there was only death. In responding to St. John the Baptist's followers asking him who he is, Christ gives them a picture of his entire ministry in miniature. A ministry of bringing life out of death, redemption out of corruption, forgiveness out of condemnation. Of course, the full extent of what Christ came to bring can hardly be contained in a few healings and exorcisms like the followers of John saw today. The true healing, the true victory of Christ's ministry would not be seen in full until he went to the cross, offering himself as the ultimate solution to the problem of sin and death, dying so that we might be cured from dying. all the miracles and teachings which Christ showed to St. John the Baptist's followers and to us this morning might be a good reminder of Christ's love for us. These are also only a taste of the even greater healing which Christ offers to all who turn to him in faith. And is this healing that we, together with St. John the Baptist, rejoice in having received at Christmas, the fulfillment of which we continue to await in faith this Advent season. Amen.